everyone. This is Molly Douthat.
And David Douthat.
Welcome to More Than Hearing, a podcast to encourage preachers to use multiple intelligences in sermons and worship leadership, because there are plenty of ways to reach someone's soul.
Today's podcast will cover the lectionary selections for Year A, the second Sunday in Lent. We have some pretty familiar passages this week, the call of Abram in Genesis, with some commentary on his journey by Paul in Romans, and Jesus' interview with Nicodemus in John 3. Your mission, should you decide to accept it, is to think differently about how to preach them using multiple intelligences. Initiating new thinking in 3, 2, 1.
We have established this podcast based on Dr. Howard Gardner's theory of multiple intelligences. Dr. Gardner suggests that there are multiple ways to learn, process, remember, and understand our world. Each week, we develop illustrations and special effects for the weekly readings of the Revised Common Lectionary and use various smarts based on Dr. Gardner's identified intelligences. We call them word smart, eye smart, math smart, body smart, music smart, nature smart, people smart, and self smart. If you'd like to, you can read more about Dr. Gardner's work by clicking on the link at the top of our webpage.
As we read and reflect on the scripture passages for each week, we explore ways these intelligences can be utilized for a deeper appreciation of God's Word. Anytime and any way we make use of the different smarts, we give people greater access to the Word of God, so they can acquire it, process it, and internalize it in ways that make sense to them. So let's get started.
The Old Testament lesson for Year A, Lent 2, is from Genesis, chapter 12, verses 1 through 4a. Because if you do all of 1 through 4, Lot just kind of tags along at the end there. Which, you know, isn't a bad thing. It's part of the whole story, but he just sort of gets left. And Lot came along.
Okay.
Well, this is an extraordinarily familiar story. It is the story of God calling Abram out of the land of Ur and telling him to leave his father and his country and his kindred and go to the land that God will show him. He's promised to be a blessing and a great nation, and all people will be blessed through him. So Abram goes, as the Lord has told him, and as I said, Lot went with him. So we have some illustrations and special effects from five of our intelligences. We have an illustration in word smart. We have a special effect in eye smart. We have a special effect and illustration in body smart. We have a special effect in music smart and an illustration in self smart. And David's going to get us started off.
Okay, for word smart, we're looking at Abram's journey overall, and in some of the rabbinic literature, it talks about the different tests that he faced. And the first of them is whether or not he would answer this call from God. And so the root in Hebrew here, or the word in Hebrew, is nisayon. Does that sound right?
That sounds about right.
Nisayon. That's the word that's translated as test. You won't find it in this text in Genesis, but in the rabbinic literature, they would talk about it. So nisayon, the root of that is nes, which means to uplift. And so Abraham is to be put into circumstances where he may or may not rise up to the challenge that's set before him. So just a different way of thinking about this whole experience for him as test and as challenge and as opportunity. To rise up.
Mm-hmm. For iSmart, we're going to suggest you do the good old standby. Whenever we talk about someone moving about in literature, in the Bible, we recommend getting out your maps and show the maps for verses 5 through 9, if you use those verses particularly. That's after Abram is left and continues on the journey to Haran and then down into Shechem. So it's really kind of cool to be able to pull all of that out and see the incredible amount of land that is covered in this journey. This is such a familiar passage. We just kind of take it for granted that, yeah, he left Ur and then he wound up in Israel. But it's a long way to go, especially on foot. So get out your maps and take a look at it.
And continuing that idea in Body Smart, thinking about that journey, and it's one that he and the whole company would have taken primarily by foot. They had flocks, I think, as well. So, you know, the animals are going by foot too. But whether or not anybody was riding on anything is not clear, but probably not. If you look at those maps, then the journey covers roughly at 1,100 miles from Ur to the heart of Israel. And he went even further than that. He ends up in the Negev.
Yeah. It's, and then eventually into Egypt.
Well, yeah.
Wow.
So just getting to the heart of Israel, though, 1,100 miles on foot. So think about that with your bod. And and what that would entail.
That is a long walk.
A long walk with limited access to food and water, depending on the route that you take and the locals' willingness to share, perhaps, to be hospitable. Mm-hmm. So for us, in the United States anyway, that would be like taking a walk along I-70 from Baltimore, Maryland to Denver, Colorado. Mm-hmm.
That's a long walk.
That would be a physical challenge. Would you be up to that challenge? So there's the illustrative part for the body. And then for a special effect, this is something that we've suggested in the past for other texts, but invite some folks to do a trust walk in the sanctuary, because that's in some sense what Abram is doing here, is going blindfolded into this new land. So invite a couple folks to come up, give them a blindfold, and then either have somebody else leading them by the hand or by the arm through the sanctuary around some different obstacles, maybe. Mm-hmm. Or if you are particularly wanting to press the point, then do it just verbally by voice. Have them directed by voice.
That is really challenging, not only for the person who is blindfolded to listen and trust what they're hearing, but for the person who's calling out to remember left, right, stop.
Because it's not necessarily the same direction depending on
exactly if they're
which
facing
way you're
you.
Facing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a challenge. For Music Smart, do you all remember that song that you learned in Bible camp or Sunday school called Father Abraham? Well, here's a way that you could do it with this particular story. It goes like this. Father Abraham went for a walk. A long walk took Father Abraham. He left his home in Ur, went to Canaan. Just following the Lord, right arm, Father Abraham. And then on and on. In his right arm, left foot, turn around, sit down.
Yeah. Which gets back to body smart.
Exactly.
If you do the motions.
Yep.
Cool. For self-smart illustration for you here, just to get folks pondering, how easy is it for you to do what you're told right away without question? Yeah, that was Molly's inner teenager groaning there. I recognize.
Mom,
right?
Get to it.
Yeah. So what are some of the factors that influence your obedience or your timeliness in that obedience? Maybe who it is that's calling you, or what it is they're calling you to do, and what you're already doing at the time.
That's a good one. Yeah.
And is anyone else going? That's for your inner teenager, that's always a big question. So pondering those sorts of things with your folks as we try to identify with Abram and company.
Let's go on.
The New Testament lesson for year A, Lent 2, is Romans chapter 4, verses 1 through 5 and 13 through 17. We often include the things that get cut out of the middle of a passage like that in the lectionary, but not this time.
Surprise,
we're just not doing that. So,
not going there. Just not
today.
Wouldn't be prudent.
Right. So, this is Paul talking about Father Abraham and our ancestor there, according to the flesh, but also according to the Spirit, and making the case that it was in no way the works of Abraham or anything that he did that got him to be considered righteous by God. He was reckoned that way because of his faith. And of course, as Christian folk, we have been taught this all our lives, but it was mm-hmm. new for them to think mm-hmm. about Abraham in that way. So he's
mostly because of generations and generations of tradition.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just basically a whole pile of ways of saying, nope, the promise is the promise is about the faith and not about the works. And if it were about the works, then the faith would be meaningless. And so it's not about that.
A big pile of nope.
Yeah.
I'm going to remember that one. That's a great mental image.
So we have more word smart. Usually we try to avoid that too because it gets so much work. But we have some interesting things for that this week, so you get them. So we have illustration and special effect for word smart, an illustration for math smart, illustration and special effect for people smart, and special effect for self. So Molly starts off with those words.
Okay. Well, what got us to thinking that there is some word smart that we need to pay attention to in this passage is there are two places where Paul actually appeals to words. In one place he says, it is written, and in another place he says, what does Scripture say? So it seems as though that's something we should be paying attention to. And David found a quote from Luke T. Johnson in his book, Writings of the New Testament and Interpretation, that Romans takes the form of a Hellenistic rhetorical style known as the scholastic diatribe. Now, usually when we hear diatribe, we think of somebody standing on the corner yelling, or your mother who's had it with you sitting on the couch all this time and now really wants you to get up and do what she's asked you to do. But the diatribe uses a variety of devices, including rhetorical questions, questions that are expected to have a short answer, by no means, which is what we hear Paul say an awful lot, hyperbole, vice lists, and to our point, historical exemplars. So looking back to somebody in the past saying, this is how they did it, and this is why they did it, and this is, you know, something we should continue to do if it is something that is, you know, upholding your argument. So that is what Paul is doing in his letter to the Romans. He's looking back to Abraham and saying, this is our historical exemplar. And he's also making an appeal to go back to look at the original documents, the historical documents, to make an appeal to go back and really look at them. It's sort of like when you ask Christians nowadays, so what does the Bible say? And everybody quotes John 3:16, and that's all they know. There's an awful lot more there. So it's an effort of Paul to say, go back and take a look at this story with some fresh eyes. An illustration that we came up with this is a little bit like discovering that something you'd always understood to be accurate is in fact not so when you go back and you take a look at the source. In a way, it's kind of like misheard song lyrics or getting a quote wrong from a play or a movie. Or really reading the Constitution or the Ten Commandments or any other authoritative document, discovering that you've been living your life adjacent to the meaning of the original, not actually following after it. And that idea of the misheard song lyrics got me to thinking about one of my favorite websites, which is www.kissthisguy.com. It's a repository of misheard song lyrics, and we have some examples for you, some Elton John, some Prince, and some Rolling Stones. We have the links to those, so go spend some time and have a laugh. It's Indeed. Really fun.
Yes. And of course, Kiss This Guy
is a misheard song a misheard, lyric for Jimi Hendrix.
Right. Excuse me while I kiss this guy. Hope we don't have to pay royalties for that.
We said kiss this guy.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
All right. For Math Smart, Paul is attempting here to get his readers to think differently about law and grace, as we said. So he uses the word logizomai in the Greek, which is reckon. He uses that several times, or to decide, conclude, think, and so on, about eight times in this passage, actually. So we really want to be thinking and considering in a different way here. Lucy Lind Hogan at workingpreacher.com has an illustration where she says, if one was raised in North America, one learned as a child to cross the street looking first to the left and then to the right. Why? Because North American cars, by law, drive on the right-hand side of the road. So when we travel to, say, the British Isles, something that is second nature to us, crossing the road, can become dangerous and life-threatening. When stepping off the curb, we must first look to our right, lest we are hit by the oncoming traffic. In London, they recognize this as a major problem for foreign visitors. And if you look down while standing at an intersection, you will see stenciled in large white letters the admonition, "Look right." And that's very much what Paul is doing here. The old way of thinking about Abraham, Paul tells us, is to think about Abraham, that Abraham was honored and praised by God for his works. But Paul wanted people to look in a different direction. Look not to the works, but to look at his faith.
Part of another thing that Paul is trying to encourage the readers and the hearers of this letter to the Romans is to think of Abraham as our ancestor. Because remember, he's working with two different groups here. He's working with Jewish Christians and he's working with Gentile Christians. And they both are coming at this whole Jesus event from different backgrounds and different understandings. So he's trying to encourage them to think of Abraham as being our ancestor, the linear ancestor for the Jews and the spiritual ancestor for the Gentiles and kind of the spiritual ancestor for all of them too as well. And so for an illustration, I thought of a time when my cousin Mike and I almost got into a fistfight as to whose grandfather our common grandfather was. I argued that he was mine, and Mike said, no, he's mine. And neither one of us understood the nature of the relationship of our grandfather to us, as our mothers were sisters. It just didn't occur to us that that could be possible, that he was both our grandfathers. We were kind of young at the time.
That's good to hear.
Yeah. No, that was just a couple of years ago. So a special effect that you might try for people smart on this one is with this understanding that Abraham is the ancestor, the father of three monotheistic world faiths, ask your congregation, how does this affect our arguments about who his real descendants are? That could open up an interesting can of worms, so be ready for that one.
Yeah. For self-smart, this is one of those items that we call a special effect. You might call it an illustration. But we have ancestors according to the flesh, and we have spiritual ancestors like Abraham and other mentors in the faith. And so invite your folks to think about who are some of your spiritual ancestors. What did they do that was so significant that you think of them in that way? And have you had the chance to tell them how they have helped you on your spiritual journey? And if not, take the opportunity to do so if you still can. And if not, find some meaningful way to honor their contribution to your spiritual life.
Cool.
Let's go on.
The gospel lesson for year A, Lent 2, is John chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. Remember what I said about John 3:16 being the one that everybody knows? Well, here's an opportunity to explore the context around that. The story of Nicodemus, a teacher of the law, who comes to visit Jesus because he's got some questions. There are an awful lot of details in this story that John provides for the hearers and the readers of his gospel, including the fact that he comes by night, the fact that he and Jesus sort of seem to be talking past each other, and the whole idea of why Jesus has come in the first place is really given some real legs in this story. I mean, John has been talking about it from the very beginning of his gospel, but here is where it really begins to take some shape. We have a variety of, we actually have four of our intelligences that we're going to look at. If you want to see what we've done with the intelligences that we have not included in the podcast, you can go to www.morethanhearing.org and look for our worksheets that are in the show notes. We really encourage that because sometimes we have stuff that we leave on the cutting room floor that is that could be really interesting and could be helpful. But what we're going to look at now is iSmart, an illustration and special effect, an illustration for MathSmart, an illustration for BodySmart, and an illustration and special effect for MusicSmart. And we're really excited that music gets two opportunities to shine this week because sometimes we're really struggling to find something with that.
Okay, so for iSmart, for anyone who drives, daylight is generally preferred to nighttime driving, especially if it's raining or foggy. It just makes it so much more difficult.
All that glare.
Yes. And the deep contrast, I think, is part of the problem, too. So yeah. Nicodemus here seems to, I suspect that he feels like he's driving on a foggy, rainy night.
If you knew what driving on a foggy, rainy night was like. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it might be like going to talk to Jesus some evening.
I'll remember that sometime when I'm driving on a rainy, foggy night. This is just like talking to Jesus.
Sometimes. And I had such an experience. I was driving home from work one night, and it had been a long, long day at work, and it was foggy, and it had been rainy. I don't think it was raining right then because it was foggy. But I was just exhausted, and I was driving along. And then I woke up, and I was still driving. Mm. And I was coming up on a turn, and it was foggy and dark, and I was very disoriented.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I imagine. And I'm really glad you told me this long after the fact, because you know people died on that corner one time.
I know. More than once. It was very disorienting, and I'm sure that that's something like how Nicodemus must have felt. How can these things be, he says. So you can use my story as an illustration if you would like, or if you have one of your own, go ahead and use that. For a special effect, just to add to the gloom, you can turn down the lights in the sanctuary while you're talking about this story to emphasize that he came by night. And of course, in John's gospel, darkness is a lack of understanding and mm-hmm. light is comprehension. Mm-hmm. So you can play with the lights a little bit here to emphasize that that difference. I got another story to tell on myself, so we're going to go on with MathSmart here, which is both math and logic. So when I was in college, I tested out of a number of courses when I was starting as a freshman through AP credits from high school. The problem was that for several of the courses, it was I tested out of one semester, but not the whole year. And so what that ended up doing was putting me off schedule and out of sequence for a number of different courses. So I was taking
a required course.
I was taking some required courses. And at one point, I was taking a class and its prerequisite at the same time.
And did you take the class and then go to the prerequisite?
I think actually the post-requisite was before the prerequisite class in the day. And so again, it was very confusing. And
so that whole semester was a series of you looping back in time.
And being entirely lost in both classes, you know, And one of the things that made it particularly frustrating was that I had covered some of that material in high school, and I didn't remember it well enough that I knew what I was doing. It was just very confusing. And I think that's, again, some of the experience that Nicodemus is having, and Jesus too. Jesus would be like the professor in the post-requisite class saying, "Why don't you understand the basics for this? You should already understand this." Mm. And So
that was such a long time ago.
and I'm having it tomorrow. So, yeah. So there's more. More math and logic. So again, thinking about how can these things be? Nicodemus saying that in verse 9. And that always gets me to thinking about quantum mechanics, because anyone who claims to understand quantum physics is lying. It is such a weird thing. And
it really is. It's just mind-bending.
It really is. It's entirely counterintuitive. So we have a link for you to a particular article here about some quantum weirdness, where particles don't... there was an experiment that was done that proved that particles don't decide if they're acting like waves or particles until they have been measured. Reality does not exist until you measure it.
So it's definitely a Schrodinger's cat.
Yes, it is. Oh. That story
played out in a lab.
In an actual experiment with matter. Yes. So take a look at that if you want to get your mind bent the way Nicodemus was. And it's how can these things be?
So we're kind of, obviously, this is a story about Nicodemus coming to see Jesus. So we're continuing along with poor old Nicodemus here. And now we're in Body Smart. And it got me to thinking that Nicodemus, maybe the reason he came to Jesus that night or at night was because he couldn't sleep. He had all of these questions on his mind. And you know what that's like when you have thoughts running through your head and you think, okay, I need to let go. I need to get to sleep. And the more you do that, the more you can't sleep and the more you think about things. And so maybe Nicodemus has these specific thoughts on his mind. No one can do these signs that Jesus has been doing. And so maybe this is why he's up at night. His brain is running at top speed and he just can't sleep. So he goes to Jesus. And until he can get those answers to his questions, he's not going to be able to rest. But the problem is that the answers to his questions don't exist until he asks about them.
Why, that sounds like quantum physics.
It certainly does, yeah. So you could use the idea of, you know, being restless at night and sleepless at night and thoughts running through your mind as a Body Smart illustration. And then also continuing along with the idea of being able to understand the basics, we're moving into Music Smart now. Verse 11, trying to understand the music theory of a Mozart symphony when you still don't quite get do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do. You're not going to understand Mozart if you don't get that octave understanding.
So you might enjoy it or appreciate it, but you won't.
Wow. But being able to understand composition and things like that, you really need the basics of the scales. So that's an illustration for Music Smart. And then, of course, a special effect for Music Smart is to a link to Do Re Mi from The Sound of Music. Always fun to listen to.
Absolutely.
That's it for today's podcast. Please ask questions or leave us a comment on our website, www.morethanhearing.org, or at our Facebook page, facebook.com/morethanhearing, or give us a tweet at morethanhearing, or you can email us at connect@morethanhearing.org. If you try any of these suggestions, or maybe you get an idea that you like even better than ours, please let us know what you did and how it went. We would really love to hear how using this theory has made a difference in your preaching and worship preparation.
Be sure to look for the show notes, links, and resources on our website. We publish our worksheets on each text so that you can see some of our ideas that didn't make it into the podcast. They could be helpful and give you a spark. And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast using the iTunes, Android, or RSS links at the bottom of the show notes, or point your podcatching software at morethanhearing.org/feed/podcast. You can find us on the iTunes store too, and you can subscribe there directly. If you like the show, you can help us by writing a review at iTunes, as it helps other people find us more easily, and also by sharing the show with your friends and colleagues. We'll be back with another installment next week. So in the meantime, stay subscribed
and be smart.
dialed is not in service at this time.
This is a Whippet Good production.